Welcome to today's fellowship-wide call on carrying the Debtor Anonymous message to hospitals, institutions, and prisons. This call is presented by the Hospitals, Institutions, and Prisons, or HIP, Committee of Debtors Anonymous. My name is Rebecca. I'm a debtor from Los Angeles. Our call today will include three speakers who will speak on the topic of sharing the DA message in hospitals, institutions, and prisons. And we will then hear a brief overview of the HIP Starter Kit, which can be found on the website, and how to use it and support your local DA members and meetings and intergroups and get started doing service in this area, this HIP area. The speaker portion of the call is being recorded and can be found on the DA website /podcast, debtorsanonymous.org/podcast within a few days. On this call, keeping with the traditions, please practice anonymity by using first names only, and help us to focus on 12-step recovery of Debtors Anonymous by leaving out other affiliations, philosophies, outside publications, religion, and their 12-step programs. After the speakers, we will end the recording for a question and answer portion. This part of the call will not be recorded. All callers have, if you want to mute the line, Mary. I don't know if we have control over people who are on your app. I think you might have to mute yourself. So that everyone can be mindful of their mute button. It sounds like someone's kind of in the kitchen. All right, there we go. Okay, our timekeeper will stay unmuted. Cheryl is our timekeeper, and each speaker will have 10 minutes. Our first speaker is Beverly from Fairlawn, New Jersey. She served on the HIP committee from August 2019 until July 2022. Welcome to the call, Beverly. How would you like your time?
Okay, I'm assuming you can hear me now, right?
Yes.
Okay. Give me my last 3 minutes.
Will do.
If I don't, I may finish before that. Anyway, thank you. Thanks, Cheryl. So, good afternoon, everybody. I'm Beverly, a debtor and a grateful member of DA since January of 2013. Like many events or changes in my life, I was told to attend DA by the therapist I was working with at the time. We hadn't been working together for very long when we got around to discussing credit card debt. She got very excited and excitedly referred me to DA. And even though in our conversations, I realized she didn't fully understand 12-step programs, I complied anyway. Neither of us knew about Debt Anon, which might have been more appropriate for me, because it was clear to me and apparently to her that our debt belonged solely to my husband. I have to add that I didn't actually attend the meeting until after suffering from a panic attack while discussing money and finances with my husband. Though I was a longtime member of another 12-step program, it took me several years in DA before I realized I was trying to change his spending and behaviors, with little success, of course. We even agreed that I would go to the meetings and learn what to do. Both of us should have known better because of our membership in other 12-step programs. At least I continued with meetings. I started keeping my numbers, our numbers at that moment, and tried to come up with spending plans and action plans. It finally occurred to me that since he was not committed to working a DA program, my efforts were only causing me frustration and health issues. When we, again, grew another five-digit debt for the third time, I realized I could never change him or convince him to do so. I also realized I had my own issues with money. Mine centered on fear of spending, fear of deprivation, and ultimately fear of becoming a bag lady. I had to look at the fact that I colluded in amassing our debt by giving in and giving up my responsibility around money and spending. Without DA, I would probably still be blaming him for all of our money problems. It was only after seeing my own issues that I could finally identify myself as Beverly Debtor. Ultimately, I realized I could never achieve solvency or be debt-free while married to him. After much 12-step work, nudging from and conversations with my higher power, my sponsor, my PRG members, I divorced him after many years of marriage. My divorce was final in September of 2018, and I accepted the GSR position from my home group and attended my first World Service Conference in August of 2019. As Rebecca said, I served on the HIP committee from that August until June of 2022. I chose the HIP committee because I had been involved with our county jail for many years. I had longstanding relationships with the counselors at the drug rehab center there, as well as their director of health and human services. I was sure I could capitalize on those relationships to get entry into other jails or prisons. Little did I know there was a tsunami lurking. The counselors I knew either retired or moved on to other jobs. The director also retired. Then COVID shut the whole program down. Today, the program has still not reopened, and the new director hasn't responded to many of my inquiries. However, before COVID and after that first World Service Conference, I was really energized to begin. That first year, the HIP committee was made up of mostly second or third year members, from whom I learned a great deal. They introduced me to the HIP Starter Kit, which was and is most helpful. Since most of my contacts had moved on from our county jail, I had to resort to cold calling. I started with a list of members of SAMHSA, which is the Substance Abuse and Mental Health Services Administration, a national organization. My hope was to get them involved in DA on a national level by listing us on their website. I spoke to someone there, but I was not successful in getting a nationwide recognition. So I started down the list of their affiliates, mostly in New Jersey and Pennsylvania. Next, I tried the National Council on Alcohol and Other Dependencies in New Jersey. Again, I was hoping to inform all of their affiliates from the national level, hoping for the trickle-down effect. While I did make contact and was able to speak to someone, that dream did not materialize. So then I concentrated on a more local level, such as college counseling centers, mental health centers, Valley Health System, which is a hospital system. In addition, I was able to make personal contact with Otisville Prison in Otisville, New York, and Progressive Prison Ministries in Greenwich, Connecticut. I was able to either hand deliver or mail literature to these people. Also, for 2 years running, I was able to arrange a community presentation about DA through a Wellness Wednesday program instituted during the pandemic via Zoom, to provide some personal connection and information about ways to cope. It was and is a joint collaboration among Valley Hospital, Bergen County Mental Health, and Westside Presbyterian Church. The program consisted of an explanation about DA, followed by three DA speakers and a question and answer period. It was well received and was repeated for the second year, but it didn't generate as much activity as I had hoped. I was able also, as it relates to prisons, to speak with both Otisville Prison and the person who is responsible for founding the Progressive Prison Ministries in Greenwich, both of whom were very interested, wanted the information, but it still isn't clear whether or not they were using or able to use it in any meaningful way. However, I think our committee decided that we were planting seeds, and we would not necessarily know how the plant turned out. So I'm hopeful. But in any case, I am truly grateful to DA and the HIP committee for offering me the opportunity to serve there. I feel as though it broadened my understanding that DA is, in fact, a worldwide fellowship, and I am a trusted member. It also introduced me to other national or international members from whom I garnered more experience, strength, and hope. These exposures inspired me to up the ante, so to speak, in my own recovery. I came away with a renewed enthusiasm for continuing growth and service, which I continue to the present. That doesn't mean I work a perfect program or that I'm always enthusiastic, but remembering those feelings bring me back to renewed commitment. So I'm grateful that I have those memories. In March of 2023, where we are today, I can tell you that I am extremely happy and content. I have a God-given apartment, which I enjoy every day. I have no credit cards. I have no debt. My solvency date is February 2nd, 2021, because I forgot to pay a bill while I was on vacation, so it was late. I still get anxious sometimes, especially when I have to lay out large sums of money, but I'm very grateful to my higher power and my PRG members who remind me that there is enough. So I continue to be interested in HIP work. I continue to talk about it when given the opportunity. And I am still hopeful that one day I will be able to, I don't know, get it more enthusiastically received, I guess I should say, in my local area. So thank you so much for this opportunity to speak today. And I hope all of you have a wonderful experience on the HIP committee, those of you who are now serving. And if there's anyone listening who is interested in the HIP committee, I would encourage you to join or to investigate it further. Thanks so much for letting me share.
Thank you so much, Beverly. All righty, our next speaker, I lost my script, sorry. Hold on one second. There we go. Our next speaker is Elizabeth from Sacramento, who served on the HIP committee from 2020 through August 2022. Welcome to the call, Elizabeth. How would you like your time?
I'd like a 3-minute warning, please. When I have 3 minutes left, that would be great. Can I be heard?
Yes.
Oh, good. Hi, everybody. My name is Elizabeth T. I am a compulsive debtor. And I'm just feeling really emotional. It started when Cheryl read the last sentence of the 11th tool. Only through service can we give to others what so generously has been given to us. And as I think back, so I first came to DA in 1989 and thought, oh, hell no. I can't do this. But I am a debtor. In the 70s, before they passed some laws, and in the 70s, people used to show up at your work with summonses to show up at court for failure. I had that happen. That's a long story. I can tell somebody sometime. I've had a sheriff's auction notice posted on my door. I refinanced the house 4 times to pay off my credit cards and start all over. I always made a lot of money. I always spent more money than I made. It did not matter. And I can remember when my sponsor gently pointed out, yeah, more money is not the answer. Anyway, so I am a debtor. DA has saved my life. And I'm so grateful to everyone who does service at any level to keep our fellowship vibrant, because the debtors who still suffer, I certainly know what that suffering is. I came back into DA in 1990. I have a sponsor who actually knows they're my sponsor, and I do sponsor women. So what it was like, it was really awful. I was in despair and desperation over my debt. planned to kill myself and didn't have to because there was a spiritual solution. So I had been a GSR back in 2007, 8, 9, and for a different committee. And this time, in January 2020, when I got elected to be the GSR, I downloaded the DAMS, which I love and recommend everybody in the fellowship read, because this document is amazing. Anyway, and I read through the committees, and one of the things that I have learned is that when I try to force myself on something, if it doesn't work, I need to just let it go. And so I decided I was just going to wait for a nudge, as Beverly called it, from my higher power as to which committee God wanted me to serve. The divine wanted me to be there for whatever reason. And when I read Hospitals, Institutions, and Prisons, I remembered when I was in, I was in a mental institution. I've been in jail a bunch of times. And I thought about the debtors who still suffer and that whole feeling of desperation and despair. And I thought, okay, I felt like that's what I wanted to do. So, and I had a plan, and then COVID came along, because I got a lot of satisfaction out of taking meetings from a different 12-step fellowship into the Sacramento County Jail. I mean, it was amazing. And I remember then that the woman I was doing it with would always tell me, you know, we're just planting a seed, you know. So what if every single woman that's in there, all they want is to get out of their cell for an hour? It doesn't matter. That's up to the higher power. I just have to do the footwork, just like in my program. So, one of the things I found is the more service I did, the better connection I seemed to have with my higher power, and the more my recovery took off, and the more willing I became to do the things that were suggested, because a lot of times I wasn't willing to go to any lengths. So my plan, which I would just like to say for the record, was a fine plan. My plan was to send the 12 and 12 and the Currency of Hope and the newcomers packet to all of the California state prisons and all of the federal prisons located in California. It seemed like a reasonable goal. You know, I could probably do that. There's 34 state prisons. There's 11 federal. You know, I paid somebody to do up a spreadsheet, since that's not my strong suit, you know, and find the name of the person. And, you know, it would be, you know, is it reentry program, or, you know, they had different titles, and call them. And I called them all, and I only ended up talking to three of them. So my idea was, well, I'm just going to send it to the library at the prisons, not knowing that you just can't send something to a prison library. Who knows? You know, they don't know. If it's not solicited, it's not going to happen. So the way that it works is that each committee is allocated, as I'm sure you know, a certain amount of money for the expenses to do the work of that committee for the year. And if you wanted more, then you did a spending plan. And that was too much trouble for me, so I just bought the literature. But I shipped it, and then it all came back because it was refused. So it was kind of like, okay, I was trying to impose my will on it, and it did not work well as many times. So you're going to hear from Laura after me, and she talked about employee assistance programs in hospitals for the healthcare workers. And so I thought, oh, yeah, I know about these. So I thought, I'll just reach out to them. Same thing. I mean, they were COVID inundated for what we thought was going to last 2 months ended up lasting years. So Laura had much more success with it than I did. I did enroll a nurse to help me contact some of them, and I was able to send some literature to several of the EAPs. But, you know, I had these big ideas, and I've tried to enroll other people in my home group and other meetings and HIP service, and I did not get a lot of people did not feel called to do that type of service. So I know that part of the purpose of the committee is to get more people involved to carry the message to the debtor who still suffers in hospitals, institutions, and prisons. I did not have a lot of success with getting other people. This nurse was a huge help in terms of that. So I have to tell you, my monthly report to the committee had a lot of activity about number of calls made and number of things mailed and all that stuff. But
3 minutes.
Thank you. My ego was a little upset because I wasn't getting results. But I had to remember, I'm just here to do what I can, to do the footwork and leave the results to God. So what ended up being the most successful, I contacted someone with a nursing diversion program in the state of California, and I sent her the literature, and people that had issues with money that were in the diversion program were referred. I got a few calls from that. Most success was from chaplains in hospitals. So they were the ones most that at least returned my phone calls. So I was grateful for the opportunity to be of service. I will tell you that I just want to thank everybody who does service at any level for this fellowship. This fellowship saves people's lives, and the work of every single person makes a difference. And so if you're on the HI committee, yay you, thank you. And if you're thinking about or attracted to it, I hope you'll consider doing service at the world level, because it is, it's an incredibly powerful experience. I won't say it's always easy, but I will say that the rewards that I've gotten spiritually far outweighed the effort that I put into them. And I am grateful today. I'm actually grateful that I'm a debtor, because I don't think I would have the contentment in my life that I have now without this program. Thanks for letting me share.
Thank you so much, Elizabeth. Our third speaker is Laura from Little River, South Carolina, and who served on the HIP committee for 2 years, including being the chair for one of those years. Welcome to the call. How would you like your time?
Hi, thank you. My name is Laura. I'm a compulsive debtor. You give me a 3-minute warning, that'll be fine. Thank you. And thank you, Elizabeth and Beverly. I miss you guys. I love working with you, and you did a great job. And I truly am a compulsive debtor. Money and spending did something to my body chemistry. It made me feel better. It gave me a high, and not having money did too. And I was one who would work 3 jobs and think that if I just had more money, I could handle everything. But that wasn't the case. It's not how much you have. It's what you do with what you have. And I started DA, and I left when I met my second husband, and I figured it would all be fine now. I knew the principles, and he could take care of the debt, and it didn't work that way. And I ended up in severe, severe financial problems, but I also felt like I was going absolutely psycho crazy because of my debting, and I knew it was so out of control. I crawled back to Debtors Anonymous, and it took me 7 years when I came back to finally get solvent in DA, and today my solvency date is November 6, 2014, and back in those days, I'll just say I was didn't have any savings. I couldn't make it to the end of the month. I had trouble buying food for my kids, and I was going crazy, felt like I was going crazy. And I was always minus in my account by at least $500 by the time it was payday time. And I was just, it was just getting worse. It was getting worse. And I started doing the payday loans. And today, because of Debtors Anonymous, I have been retired for 5 years. I own a home in South Carolina. I have no debt. I have my home and I have my car. And I have traveled all over the country. I have traveled to Germany and Prague. I have such a blessed, prosperous life. And I never thought that would happen. I never thought I'd ever be able to retire, and I am so grateful. I have a prudent reserve. I have a vacation fund. I have a gift fund. I have a house repair fund. And in my life, it's not about money, but I also know I will always be a compulsive debtor, and I need to be vigilant because I still get those feelings like, oh, my gosh, oh, my computer has a glitch. I should get a new computer. And then it's like, wait a minute. No, I don't need to get a new computer. So it's a one day at a time thing. And I was told early on in the program that you have to be of service if you want to keep it. You have to give it away in order to keep it. And I did all kinds of service initially at the meeting level. And then I was in a group for a while, and then I became the GSR rep for a meeting. And when I saw the different committees, I just felt like HIP would be the one for me because I am a nurse and I worked in healthcare. And I thought that maybe I could use my knowledge as a nurse and help how hospitals work to help me to carry the message. And actually, you know, I like what was said. I do the footwork and I leave the results to my higher power. The results are none of my business. But it was exciting when people got excited about getting the information. I started out calling hospitals. I thought, I'll just do all the hospitals in South Carolina and then I'll go to North Carolina and I'll just keep going. Well, when I realized there were hundreds of hospitals in South Carolina, I knew that wasn't going to happen, so I just started going down the list and doing what I could. And some people never, ever called me back, and I did the three strikes, you're out rule. Try three times, you're out. But then there had been some success. The Shriners hospitals, which are throughout the country, I ended up talking to somebody with Shriners, and they hooked me up to their EAP system. And now all the Shriners hospitals have information on Debtors Anonymous for their staff and their patients. I usually went right to the Human Resource Center and talked to them, and I talked nursing jargon about how I was a nurse and how I worked so hard and I'd work extra shifts because I never had enough money, because I had to spend my money wisely, and then I'd get burned out, and then how I knew people that would end up quitting their job because they got so burned out they couldn't work anymore. And they were not effective, and that's where I was getting. And I think they could relate to that. And so there were, you know, MUSC, the big medical center in South Carolina, and their psych institute both have the information. And there are some other hospital in groups, too, a number of them that did receive Debtors Anonymous information. And what they did with it, I don't know, but they have it. And you just never know when it's going to, you know, if it touches one person and saves one person's life. I mean, that's great. And I was planted a seed with other programs, and I didn't go to other programs for years after that, but that seed was planted. You know, the second year I thought, well, I'm calling all these hospitals. Why don't I just focus on EAPs? So I would go through and try to figure out, well, I'd call hospitals and find out what EAPs they had. And I picked, like, the country's largest ones that had the most facilities. And it wasn't just about nurses. It was some of the EAPs took care of businesses, healthcare institutions, educational institutions. So I just go right there, and I talk to them. And I send them using the HIP toolkit was invaluable because they show you how to write the letters. They guide you. So everybody I was in touch with got a letter with information in it, and then were offered literature also. Another way, because I thought, you know, we'd be creative, right, is I work with the homeless, so I created a sheet for support groups for the homeless to be available, and one of those things was Debtors Anonymous on there. You never know who's going to read it. Hit some local libraries, some local churches, and carried the message there. Now, as I said, I don't know what happened, but I do know that it kept me solvent. And I guess that's where we say it's a selfish program, that if you don't give it away, you can't keep it. And so maybe hundreds of people got got into DA. Maybe no person did, but I am solvent today. And I did enjoy the work. It was challenging, and it was exciting when people were interested. One of the people that I called, I ended up 12-stepping her into DA. When we started talking, I talked to her a little bit about my experience, strength, and hope, and she's like, oh, my God, I have this problem. What do I do?
3 minutes.
You know? Thank you. So you never know. And I loved working with the people on the committee, and I learned more than just about HIP. I learned about dealing with challenging people. I learned about more about the dams and how to run meetings in DA. So it was a very invaluable experience, and I was very sad not to be on it a third year, actually, because I decided not to go. I wasn't going to go to England with all this stuff going on, and you can't be on a committee if you don't go to the General Service Conference. But I have been blessed because I am now on the GSB P&I committee as the media, an appointed member for the media consultant. So I am doing teaching for DA on how to deal with the media, how to talk to them, what to say, what not to say, and I'm available as a consultant. So I'm still doing service work, which again is important, and this is another opportunity to learn and grow through the program and to enrich my own experience as well as trying to be of service to other people. So I really thank you for giving me the opportunity to speak. I love this committee. I love DA, and I am positive I would have died of this disease because I just couldn't handle it anymore. I just felt like I was on a wheel, on a mouse on a wheel, and I couldn't get off, and I was so desperate. I'm so grateful that I finally did get to surrender to a higher power. Took me 7 years, but I got there, you know. And so, you know, I'm glad you guys are here, and thank you for being of service. And again, thank you so much for giving me the opportunity to be of service by sharing today.
Thank you so much for sharing.
Again. Thank you.
Thank you to all our speakers. So, I am Rebecca from Los Angeles. I'm going to share on the HIP starter kit for about 7 minutes max. And then after that, we will stop recording and go into our Q&A portion. So stick around for that. Cheryl, would you give me a 5 minute warning?
Sure.
Okay, perfect. Yeah, once 5 minutes are up. Thank you. All right. So you can find the HIP starter kit on the debtorsanonymous.org website. If you go to debtorsanonymous.org, and then there is a drop-down menu. There's menus at the top. You click meeting info, and it's at the bottom of that. The last option is public information. And once you're on that page, the first option is the HIP starter kit. And you can open that, and it is a 13-page document, and I'm just going to quickly go over it. A lot of our speakers referred to a lot of things that are in here. So the first, it kind of gives an overview of what HIP service is, the committee, what the committee does, and our goal and our mission. Those are the first few pages, and then what we've done in the past, which you heard about today on the call. And then I'm going to start on page 4. So on page 4, it goes over with whom does HIP work. So ultimately, we seek face-to-face interaction or direct contact with the still suffering debtor in hospitals, institutions, and prisons. And then it kind of breaks out what is included in those. And it could be an exhaustive list, but we give examples of hospital systems, examples of institution systems, and prison systems. So I'll just read off a few. Hospital systems could be treatment centers, long-term care hospitals, inpatient, outpatient, veterans association, administration, etc. Institutions could be homeless shelters, women's shelters, recovery houses, welfare offices, and then UK job centers, Citizens Advice Bureau, etc. And then prison systems, yes, it's, you know, federal and state prisons, but also correctional facilities, detention centers, criminal courts, halfway houses, etc. And then one of the ways that we have found, as you heard mentioned in the shares, ways to access these three places is through helping professionals. They are the gatekeeper access points. So so examples of those would be healthcare workers, doctors, case managers, program staff, counselors, social workers, parole officers, et cetera, chaplains, ministers, rabbis. So that's an example of that. And then on page 6, how do we find professionals with whom to work with? So how do we find these helping professionals? So they give some examples of searches you can do for, like, criminal attorneys, county jails, hospital systems, prisons, and substance abuse mental health services. And you can also email us at hip@debtorsanonymous.org if you are doing work already or if you're looking to do work, because we would love to connect with you, and also we're trying to connect more people with each other who are already doing the work. And then page 7 is for the helping professional. So this is now that we've established who all these people are, now this is the approach. How do you make the approach? So for helping professionals, we actually have something written up on our website. So if you go to, I don't know what the drop-down menu is, but the website is debtorsanonymous.org/about-DA/for-helping-professionals, and that link is in the starter kit. And so you can literally copy and paste what's in there into an email or use it on the phone. We have free literature, and we have, like, an About DA statement for people that are outside of DA, sample recovery story, and then 12 signs of compulsive debting, and then the 12 tools of Debtors Anonymous and the 12 promises. And similar to what one of the speakers shared, you can arrange informational presentation of Debtors Anonymous, and that is in here as well, a format for that. So I'll get to that in a minute. First, page 8 through 10, it talks about scripts, actual scripts, talking points. So literally getting past the gatekeeper for a phone call, what exactly to say. 2 is if you get 10 minutes with a professional, what to use say in that 10 minutes. And then what to say if they say yes or no to what your request is to share information.
2 minutes.
Thank you so much. And then lastly, pages 11 through 12, similar to what one of the speakers shared, talks about how to set up a presentation about for non-DA members to share with them, like, how DA works. So literally there's a suggested format for that meeting, how to spend the time, what to have the speaker share on, and then for Q&A, et cetera. So it's all been put into this starter kit. And the last thing I'll share is there is another, there's many World Service committees, and one of the other committees is the Public Information Committee. And they also, so we have some overlap in our work because their committee focuses on sharing the DA message to anyone outside of DA, just the public in general who are not familiar with DA. So they have amazing resources on the website as well. So the same place where you can find the HIP starter kit, you can find information about PI, public information. They have a manual, public information manual. It's like a 36-page document. They also have the resources of, like, how to start a meeting, et cetera. That's all been given by them, and there's meeting formats on the website, etc. So that's all I have to share on that. So it's a great thing to check out. All righty. So thank you to all of our speakers today. We'd like to ask all DA members listening in to please consider making a Seventh Tradition contribution to support DA at the World Service level. You can donate at debtorsanonymous.org/donate. And we will now end the recording for our question and answer period. And anyone speaking during that time will not be recorded.